So you put up with me today. I haven't done a lot of public speaking. I mainly do the sound. And I'm not going to try to be a good speaker, because since I do the sound, I know what happens to good speakers. They hang up. So one verse we're going to read quickly in the New Testament, and it was Jesus, when he was mentioning or giving different parables about the kingdom of God, and that whole parable is in one verse. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So it's not just he found the treasure and he took it, and no, like it was in a field that the field didn't belong to him. So he buys the whole field. And in to do that, he had to sell everything that he has. That's a kind of sacrifice, and it's a big decision to do that. What if it wasn't worth it? But that's what here, as believers, that's what we do, and we try to even think all the time how to do this right. Early on during the service, we read one portion of scripture in the Old Testament, and it still has to do with the same topic. It was in chapter 22 of the book of 2 Kings, and it sounded like there was a renovation project happening in the temple, and the instruction was given, go get all the silver, or back then that was what they used for money, because they needed to pay the workers. And he told the secretary, go and count it all, or you don't need to give an account for it, just give it to the workers. And the workers, he is a good word, that, and in a sense that we are workers in the kingdom of God. But a byproduct happened of this process, that while they were doing the renovation thing, and that was the focus, they found something. Oh, good thing, they found something. What was it that they found? Anybody remember from hearing the verse? And they found the book. That's good news, but at the same time, let me back up to the bad news before that, because if they found it, that means what? They lost it. So here's my illustration for today. It has to be a quick illustration, and I think you know why. How do you lose this? Now, we know that this is, and maybe some homes you have a family Bible, and nobody reads that. This is just sitting there on a table for just to say that we are in this house, we are Christians, and this is just for decoration. But back then, they had, and it was in the temple or in the house of God, because making copies was not an easy thing. Somebody had to read word by word and make sure they write it correctly. And not only that, they didn't have paper. Or paper was not the wax paper, thin paper that we use now for Bibles. If you go and buy a Bible, I'm thinking maybe in the way it was 20 years ago, before computers and before smartphones and all that. Remember the days when we came to church, or those who are older, remember the day that we come to church and we make sure that we have our Bible with us, and maybe we make markings in it for some stuff that we heard being preached. But how do you lose? And that time, it was probably not, like as I mentioned, it wasn't paper, so what was it? Possibly animal skin. And you can't really do fine print on that. So just few chapters that will be maybe as heavy or as big as this one here. So how do you lose it? Who is the responsibility of it? Is it the custodian? Is it the priest? Is it the singers? Do you know what? Like if somebody had lost it, somebody else would be asking them, by the way, where is the book? And it wasn't just a book that it's a good thing, let's have it in the library. No, that was the book that told them who they are and why they are different than anybody else around, and also told them the secrets for everything they face in life. How do you lose it? I'm like talking a little bit about the negative here, but that's not our goal. Our goal today is knowing we don't want this to happen to us. And the process of losing, it wasn't just because somebody didn't care of the physical paper, but I assume at one time it became from something that where they treasured, and this is why the book that has all the secrets of life that we need. But it became just something to put on the shelf. I'll mention a couple of stories in the Bible, and we may know the story of Samson found in the book of Judges. And most people who know about Samson, they hear about Samson and Delilah. But do you know what? That wasn't his first encounter. There was a mess up that happened before that. He went outside of the people of God and found something else that to him that was, it seems like it is better. And the reason I'm talking about Samson is still, I'm going to go back to that original story about finding the book. When they found it, they read it. And if you read more in the chapter, we found that the king, when he read it, or what was read to him, he rent his clothes. Why? He was shocked because they found what they have been doing is against that book. And he somehow, there was something inside of him that told him that that book was important. As a matter of fact, as it was introducing his name, it said that he did that which was right. He followed in the time of, or the followed after his father, David. But as a matter of fact, David was not his father. His father was King Ammon, and then there's another king. And those ones, they definitely were not ones that you put in the, and say, like they were the people who did what was right. But somehow something inside of him let him skip that and go further back and follow after David. And somehow he knew, or something was in him that tell him that that in the book was important. And when they read in the book and then they went and consulted, they said, because something has to happen different now, we need to go back and follow what's in this book. As a matter of fact, we need to ask God for forgiveness. When they went and there was a prophetess, that they wanted to know, like, what should we do that God will not be angry with us and accept our repentance. And the one thing that she emphasized, that they worship other gods, worship other idols. So us right now in the 21st century, we think about worshiping other idols like, this is dumb. You take something I have made it and say, okay, this is the secret of my life. Can you imagine and telling somebody, okay, you need to come and bow down to this. And here's the one thing that would definitely get our attention. Oh, by the way, you need to bring your money and put it here. That's completely dumb. But do you know what? The deception doesn't start there. It doesn't start by saying that you have to come and sacrifice and take your resources and surrender it, and not only that, make a fool of yourself and come and bow to this idol. But there are some other things. So imagine somebody goes, and in the case of Samson, he goes from the people of God and goes and associate with other people around. They don't tell him, okay, if you're going to come with us here, you're going to have to worship this God and so forth. No, it doesn't start like that. They say, oh, what are you doing this weekend? oh, I'm, actually, I have nothing. Okay, why don't you come with us? We have a festival happening to the god such and such. So he goes to check things out. And then there is music, there is dancing, there is food, just a lot of butter tarts. And it wasn't just coffee back then, it was probably, and everybody's gonna have a good time. Let's come for this. So he goes and, oh, that's not good, that's not bad after all. I think those people are good. And starts warming up to this thing, which is a worship of other gods. Because that festival is not just for the sake of having fun, but that was to bring them to something else. And maybe one of the things that people say, okay, discover what those people are doing, and part of the dance, some people are coming in with their face painted and all, like, what's going on? Oh, this is what we do when there is a war. And we paint our face, and that's how we conquer other enemies, because now we are afraid of us. And you know what? It is this God that helps us through this battle. And that's what makes us win. Or maybe this is what we need, a harvest. Or before the harvest, we're going to have a crop. Oh, it is this God that give us those things. So the going into idol worship, it didn't start by saying, I'm going to worship other gods, but it started with warming up to it, and it was through the other events that are happening. And we found that Samson, he goes and gets married, and that marriage doesn't work out, and yet something is still attracting him. And later on, the whole story of Delilah happens. The interesting thing, that the big question that Delilah was asking him is, where does your strength lie? Where does your strength come from? A lot of people, when they picture Samson, it's a big man with muscles, and who's the biggest man here? I'm not going to let you put your hands up, but, oh, you're, no, no. He was probably looked like an ordinary man, but somehow, when he gets in a battle, he wins, and he has amazing strength that happens. And what Samson should have done, because do you know what? Samson, it wasn't just an ordinary person and his parents told him, you need to worship our God. And no, Samson had the strength in him and he knew there was something special about him and he knew that this came from God. Yet he's going, something else looks more attractive and get involved in it. What Samson should have done should have been like the little girl that was a captive and went to the Syrian camp, or the among the Syrians, and found that her master had a disease, horrible disease, and she said, you know, I wish you'd talk to the man of God that's in my country. And she was a good witness. Samson, somehow, what do you know what happened to Samson? He lost the book deep inside. Go further back, another story even more horrible than this. And it was in Mount Sinai. The people of God had just come out of Egypt, and they have seen or witnessed the power of God through 10 different plagues. One thing after the other, they didn't do anything in some of them, and somehow bad things doesn't happen to them, and they are safe from other things. But Moses goes up, and we know the backstory, that he goes up to, and the result was it was receiving the book. So there wasn't a book in a sense at that moment, but somehow the love for the book should have been there. They went to Aaron and told him, we don't know about what happened to Moses. He had been up for so many days, and there was thunder and a storm happened, maybe a tornado took him or whatever. I don't think he's coming back. So make us a God that will go before us, and that's how we're going to be winning in our life. I'm using my own words here. And the story of the golden calf happens. And when Moses came down, Joshua was somewhere halfway in between, and Joshua said, you know, I think there's a battle going on. But Moses told him, no, that doesn't sound like a sound of a battle. It sounds like people celebrating, because there was what was happening. There was singing. Where did they learn that? They learned it in Egypt. They watched other people as they worship other gods. And they know the worship of gods, it is people who are trying to make sense of life. So many phenomena that are happening, if it was a big tornado that happened or whatever, they try to explain it, they can't explain it. And people dying, people get rich, and like all different things. And at work, where I work, we had a problem happen for several years. Part of it we were using, I'm not going to tell you the details of it, but anyway, we were trying to fix it, but band-aid solution. So now we have this little solution that works, but you know what, it's not a good solution. So now we have to make another solution to fix the other solution. And there's an app for this, and an app for that, an app to fix the other app. And out there, that's what's happening. And the temptation for us to go and do exactly like everybody else, just react to everything that happens. Well, if we look in our Bible, what is the first verse? In the beginning, God. Let's set the record straight. The source of everything comes in from God. Let me try to wrap this up in, or maybe not in the sense of wrapping it up, but in the sense of what's the good news in here. The good news is God does not want us only to not to be caught up in the confusion that happens around us, but he wants us to help other also. Not only that I can survive, but I'll be a survivor and also a help to somebody else. In the book of, going back to the confusion thing, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it talks in verse 8 about, then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth. And then here talking about, like if we read the whole thing, it's talking about the Antichrist. But in verse 10, and this is chapter 2, talk about the Antichrist, we talk about with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So it's not just doing what is right, but in the first place, loving the fact that I will be able to find truth. There are so many opinions out there, and I can go about everything in life. Should I take this opinion and this opinion? And you know what? I'll just give up. And so many opinions out there, and I don't know whom to trust. And I can continue all my life just one thing get me this direction, one thing get me this direction, until one day my obituary is read. No, God does not want us to be in that way. So in the negative sense in here it said, because they have not the love for the truth. And it said, God sends upon them a strong delusion. Somebody was talking about this verse a while ago, and he mentioned, you know, if somebody deceives you, there is hope for you. God can help you. But what if it is God himself that's confusing you? And it doesn't mean that God is waiting and say, okay, this person doesn't have love for the truth. You know what? I'm going to trick them, and I'm going to get them to mess up. But in my opinion, what that means is God had said it beforehand that for those who have love for the truth, they were going to keep searching. You know the verse back about seek and you shall find? Knock and it will be open unto you? If you have it in you to search, God is the one who made it that as you search, he'll be the one guiding you. As a matter of fact, when he talked about the Holy Spirit, he said, when that Spirit will come, it will lead you to all truth. In the book of Ephesians, talks about pastors and teachers, that's in verse 4. Pastors and teachers, what God gave us pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature and to mature manhood. No longer children, or no longer being children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Not every opinion, we run after it. Something has to be inside of us that we know the truth, and as a result, no matter what kind of confusion happens out there. But whom do we trust for an opinion? Okay, here's a good one, our parents. But I mentioned about King Josiah. What if your parents are corrupt? And if everything that they told me, that's what I'm going to do all my life. Some people find out that, yeah, they have a father, but their father is in jail. And not just that he's in jail because he was condemned unjustly, but no, he's in jail because he did something horrible. Is that person going to follow what their parents told them? What about following politicians who wants to be in power? We know this one, we're not going to go there. What about those who are in power and the government? I'm not saying no, don't go against the government. But there is something has to trump everything. As a matter of fact, what if it just appeals to me and I feel like doing it? The Bible also talks about that our heart can deceive us. But the love for the truth will get us to search the truth. And it's not just learning, okay, here's the doctrine that we have in this church, memorize this and you'll get to heaven. Some people have the idea that when you go to the heaven, you have to confess something, and if you know how to say it, they'll let you go in. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about even to the level that knowing that 1 + 1 = 2. Or what I mean is, does it add up? And by what authority do I form my ideas? I'm just talking about general idea in here. I referred earlier that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. There's one song that gives the idea that it's not just us who would know the truth. And by the way, knowing the truth alone is not what we are after. It's knowing the truth and living by it is what counts. I'm debating whether to sing it or not. The verse in it that caught my attention. Lord, I've seen a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit, groping in darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near, shining with compassion in your eyes, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Do you know that song? Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your work speak to me, show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be a witness, You can take what's wrong and make it right. They start shine down on me. Why? So I can be the reflection. Let your love shine through me in the night. I'm going to bring it to an abrupt stop right there. But what I want us to do as we start the music and we go for our last song is, Lord, search me. Search my heart. Do I just react to everything that happens? And all my life is just reacting. Or did I search? As a matter of fact, this morning, I was doing something for the first time. I was helping Doug and I was preparing for next week because something I would need to do. And he told me, okay, there are three things you have to plug. So I plugged one and plugged the second one. Come to plug the third one. Oh, the one, number one and number two that I plugged, they were in my way and made it a lot difficult for me. And Doug upstairs, he said to me, it's called the process of learning. And I thought, that's perfect. That fits where I'm at. I don't want to go everything about everything and just, I'm going to, whatever way it comes in, I'll do it. I would rather have, if it's going to be the wrong way, why start it in the first way? And there are a lot of hints for us to how to go about things correctly from the beginning. And because God loves us, He gave us those hints in advance. It's like the app that will guide us through. And not only that He gave us a book that we can take the book and it will give us, but also His Spirit. He said, when it comes, when we receive His Spirit, and as a result, if somebody thinks, I don't know if I have the Spirit or not, seek and you shall find. And how do you know that Spirit? Because that Spirit will put for a new love for the truth more and more and will guide you until, I'm not going to settle down until I find out how this works.